Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to episode number 14 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Edward Lamb, and my laughing colleague, Sean Orford here. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
What are you laughing at?
Life.
Just life. Is it the fact that we're this is the second
It's your hello.
Hello. I know. Hello. It's kind of my...
I like it.
It's my trademark. For more information about the work that Sean and I are doing, visit our fantastic website, liveinthepresent.co.uk. You'll also be able to find notes and links to everything that we're about to discuss. So let's kick things off. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
You had a good week?
Yeah, I'm back from holidays and getting back into work mode.
Holidays? It's funny you should mention that.
It's our topic for the week.
It is, yeah. Yeah. The perfect holiday. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah,
well, you've been back for a couple of weeks now, haven't you?
No, near enough.
Yeah. Back in the swing, though.
But I haven't lost the holiday effect yet.
All right, so you haven't said that magic phrase that, oh, it feels like I was never away.
Yeah, I haven't got there yet. So no. I'm still in holiday phase, really.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to that in our main topic.
Yeah. We will. Yeah, that's our topic for the week, guys. How stressful was your holiday? I'm well back in the swing of things for work now. But it's that time in the UK, isn't it, when kids are back to school, some holidays are over. The summer's still kind of here. It's lingering a little bit.
It's getting darker, though. My early morning run, 5 a.m., is in the dark now, whereas a month ago it was still light. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to lose that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing my nighttime visibility jacket when I'm running.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, yeah.
Can it glow in the dark? So,
yes. You can see me coming.
Yeah, well, I've had a cool week as well. I had a wedding up in Northumberland. A pal I went to uni with got married, got hitched at the weekend, which was good. So we went up there and spent a night in a B&B, and it's really out in the sticks there in Northumberland, near a place called Kielder.
Right.
Which is actually... its claim to fame is it's the darkest place in all of the UK.
All right.
So there's an observatory there.
Oh, is that because there's no light pollution?
As far away from a major city as you can pretty much get.
It's weird that, isn't it? When you go away from a city in the night and you can see the real darkness of the sky and you can see the
sadly,
stars.
Sadly, it was cloudy because I was really looking forward to seeing it. But... Yeah. Yeah, you could just about in the distance see the glow of Newcastle in that the direction.
Yeah.
Kind of southeast.
Yeah.
But cool place and a good wedding, good too.
Yeah, beautiful. Stubbing.
I just want to make a quick mention for some 5-star reviewers or some reviewers that have taken the time to go on iTunes and review our show. So a quick mention to a few guys here, if you don't mind. Thank you to Collator, to Edal number 12. Edal number 12 actually... once suggested that we do a podcast on why do we do dangerous things. I think he's kind of interested in this. I'm always talking about go-karting and stuff.
Yeah, hanging on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So why do we do dangerous things? So
yeah, go with that.
Keep your suggestions coming. We've had a few emails with suggestions too. Thank you, Nick Jones, 314, to Jenny Morrison, to Kev Morgan, to Scoey 212 in the States, and also Brenner 6636 over there too, from Matt 845 in the UK. Our first Canadian reviewer, woohey, from Marcus Aurelius. Thank you, Marcus. Canadian listeners.
Wonderful.
Big shout out to all of you guys.
Yeah. Sounds like French Canadian, that Aurelius.
Yeah.
It'd be Spanish.
Maybe. Interesting. Yeah. Cool name. Shelley, who's done one on the US store, but she says she's from Mexico, which is great. Thank you, Shelley. So brilliant. Keep your feedback coming. We've had some nice emails in recently, haven't we, as well, Sean?
Yeah.
With good constructive criticism.
Yeah, a lovely lady called Sam, who Sam Haddock brought us some nice feedback there.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Sam.
We had a cool email from a guy called Chris, who got me thinking about something which we think we're going to talk about in next week's show.
Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, thanks, Chris. So feedback, send it through email as podcast@liveinthepresent.co.uk.
And Steve.
Steve.
Gotta mention Steve.
Shout out to Steve.
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. who he reviewed our podcast ages ago, and then I saw him recently, and he had a go at me. He didn't know his number. He said, "Ed, you didn't mention me."
Yeah.
So thanks, Steve, for your review.
Yeah.
And your support as a
So Steve's a lovely guy. I've known him for a long time. Does lots of different things, but he's also an amazing drummer.
Mm.
Plays in a band. Really good.
Yeah.
Great.
Shout out to Steve.
Yeah, one of the things I want to just chuck in for this week before we move on to the topic is detox. I always do a detox, change the seasons in the autumn and the spring.
Yeah.
And after holiday season, when I've overindulged and had a good time, I'm moving towards the idea of a detox. It's a 13-day detox, which I do on the site, and we do it online. Loads of people join me from all over the world.
Yeah.
So I'll be winding up for that towards the end of September.
It's that time already, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody who's interested in detox, clean their body out, clean your mind and your emotions out at the same time, join me. We'll put some stuff up on the site so that you can get your head around it if you fancy.
There's a link there already, but I'll put it up in the show notes for this.
Yeah. Cool. It's good.
Okay, before we do go on to this week's topic, what's caught your eye in the news, Sean?
It's about our topic, and it's an article which is in the Telegraph, and the notes will go up for that. But it says very clearly that we can start to identify the fact that the positive effects of going on holiday fade away after 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And that's to do with the chemistry in your system. It's something that we'll look at as we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But that is that idea of, I've been on holiday, had a wonderful time, and then 2 weeks later I'm saying, I feel like I've never been away. So, like, why is that? Yeah, and we'll come on to that later. But it's a good article to go and have a look at.
Telegraph article. Yeah. I'll put it up in the on the website. Yeah. Nice one. I'm going to give a quick shout out. The news broke. Actually, when I was on my way back from Northumberland, driving back, I heard for the first time about Sir David Frost.
Yeah.
Who is no longer with us.
Yeah. Sad loss.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Big time. Real trailblazer in kind of media. He was there at the forefront back in the 60s. Must have been a cool time to kind of be around that, you know, when the BBC was really getting going.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah.
And the iconic thing that he did with the interviews with Nixon. President Nixon.
Awesome.
Before he was impeached, that was powerful.
That's put him on internationally, that really put him on the map, didn't it?
Yeah, which has become a movie.
Yes, Frost Nixon's a great flick. It's funny, it's a shame sometimes that it takes a guy to pass away to really kind of realise what they've done. But now, you know, I've started reading up on him and all the things that he's done. He's quite entrepreneurial in mind, and he did some big TV deals back in the 70s. And right up to, he was working till he died, but literally.
He was
doing a speech, wasn't he? That idea of just never retiring.
Work-life balance. Or do you just live your life?
Get on, get living.
But
he started working for Al Jazeera in 2006.
Yeah.
Which is quite, at that time, was pretty risky thing to do.
Yeah, it's quite a good news service, that. It's good to get into, to get another view on the world situation.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. It'd be interesting. I bet he'd be really interested in stuff that's going on in the world of independent media now, like this podcast and all the other cool podcasts that I've found since I've started doing this. I bet if I'd gone to him and said, do you fancy setting something up, Dave? Yeah, Dave.
All right, Dave.
I bet he would have been up for it.
Yeah.
Just take control of things. But yeah, David Frost, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Icon.
Big time. Let's go on to our topic, Sean. Holidays. I've mentioned before, it's in the UK, it's that time of year when kids are back to school, the summer is over, the autumn nights are drawing in, and people are probably reflecting on their holiday and wishing they were still sitting on a beach somewhere far away.
Yeah.
But the reality is that holiday, it's designed to be, it's a relaxing time, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it?
I guess one of the questions in this podcast is, why do you go on holiday?
Mm.
And you need to consider that yourself. You know, I mean, if you listen to this, if you've been on holiday this summer, why have you been?
Why did you do it?
And did it achieve what it was that you thought you were going to get from it? Yeah, my experience from a therapy point of view is, for lots of people, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So we need to have a look at that a bit.
Yeah. What's the history of the holiday? Why do we...
Holiday means holy day. So people used to work 7 days a week because that's what you did. You worked. There wasn't a weekend. And when you get the introduction of Christianity, you get a holy day, which is Sunday, which is a day when you do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in different religions, the day was different. So in Islam, it's Friday. In Judaism, it's Saturday. In Christianity, it's Sunday. But the idea of your Sabbath is that it's a holy day when nothing happens. Then you move from there. You have saints' days throughout the year. So everybody would have a Saint's Day, which would be their own holy day, where they would do nothing. And then that extends out to festivals. So Easter, you get a holy day, which goes from Good Friday through to the Sunday. In our secular world, we now include the Monday as a bank holy day, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the essence of a holy day is it's a day where you do nothing. On a holy day, you are not supposed to work.
That was like the law.
It was ecclesiastical law. Yeah, and you could be punished under ecclesiastic law for doing certain things on a holy day. So the essence of a holy day or a holiday is it's a time when you do nothing. When you just spend your time being with yourself, in a religious sense, you would do some worship and some prayer or some meditation or whatever your discipline was.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a day where you do nothing other than take it easy. Yeah? And if you look at what people do for holidays these days, a lot of it is not about taking it easy. It can be more stressful being on holiday than being at work.
It can be a time to just cram in as much as you possibly can in that time and do all the things that you've been wanting to do for a while, maybe.
Well, it depends, doesn't it? It's okay if you and those people that you are holidaying with are all motivated to do the same things. The problem is when one person gets dragged along with other people to go and do things and the last thing it's been for them is a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the biggest issue in that, I mean, we did a podcast on anxiety a while ago. Lots of people have anxiety about flying, about travelling, about being away from home. If you have anxiety issues about flying, the last place you want to be is in an airport because it's going to spike your fight and flight reactions, adrenaline, cortisol are going to be very, very high.
Yeah.
I mean, interestingly, if you look at the statistics about human waste that comes out in airports, because people are in states of anxiety before they fly, they will empty their bowels and their bladder hugely before they get on the plane. And people might go to the loo several times before they get on the plane, because they are in high levels of fight and flight. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be 37,000 feet up in the air isn't a normal place to be.
No. Nope.
And if you're not having some kind of emotional reaction to that, you're a psychopath.
Yeah. I'm not that cool with it, actually. I do get a bit anxious. It's mainly on takeoff, when you're banking or you're rising quite steeply. You know that bit after you've taken off when the plane tries to get on the right path and it banks left or right?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I didn't like that kind of stuff, so I actually went and did some flying lessons. And when you're on the controls and you're taking off and you realise as the rubber comes unstuck that the plane needs to settle in the air and then you have to bank it round, and that feeling, you can feel the air on the wings. It's like you can feel the tyres on a corner. It's that kind of thing. It makes you realise that air is quite solid. So for me now, I love that feeling when you get the gudum, 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 and then the rubber comes unstuck and you get that wobbly feeling as it comes up, and you get that kind of weightless feeling in your tummy. I love that. That's good. So maybe I'm a psychopath on a plane.
No comment.
Yeah, I like that.
Interesting about holidays is that we generalising, but we work hard, most of us in the Western world, and because of that, we spend more time in work than we do often with our families.
Yeah.
And then we go on holiday and all of a sudden we're 24 hours a day with our families, which should be idyllic and wonderful, but it's not always... Well, it's not, isn't it?
Cause no. Well, to me, the holiday season has finished. What that means for me now is that the divorce season has started.
Okay.
Because what happens is couples come back from being on holiday and they've had such a difficult time that it's taken them to the edge, and they end up in therapy, and that therapy is either to end a relationship or to try and repair it. And so I'll get a spike this time of year after the summer holidays, and then I'll get another spike after Christmas and the New Year.
How often is it repairable, though? I mean, obviously, you haven't spent that much time with your partner for a while, and then you have this week or 2 week hit where you do. It can't always be ending divorce.
No. That would be a very profitable business. the way that it appears to work is that the way our systems work is they run on adrenaline and cortisol, which are the main chemicals that people know. There are others, but that's our high octane fuel that we function on. When you go on holiday, so you go on holiday on Friday, it takes you through till about Tuesday for that chemistry to drop down to a low level, so you feel like you're in holiday mood.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, that's true if you get into holiday mood. And once you get into holiday mood and it's dropped down, all your defence mechanisms have gone. Because the adrenaline and cortisol is the fight and flight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the things that we use to protect ourselves in everyday life. If they drop right down, you can be quite vulnerable. So if your partner hasn't dropped down and they're being quite adrenergic and a bit kind of aggressive, you don't have the defence mechanisms to cope with it.
Right.
That's the first one. The second one is that if the holiday is stressful, say people have just been through a terrible flight from England to America, say, and they've gone to Orlando and they're going to do all the theme parks and they've spent day after day queuing to get into things with screaming kids and loads of problems, their levels of adrenaline and cortisol may never drop, which may mean that they end up in a situation where they gradually get more aggressive and more angry and more niggly throughout the holiday. So either the holiday works on the basis that the levels drop down and we have a good, relaxed time, or it may be that they spike up and we have an absolutely terrible time. So a holiday isn't necessarily a relaxing thing. It's not necessarily something that replenishes us. It may make our situation worse.
So people that are listening in now, maybe they're about to go on holiday and are a bit maybe anxious about, perhaps not so much the travel getting there, but maybe they're starting to think, uh-oh, you know, I'm just about to spend a couple of weeks with my loved one and things might get a bit edgy, a bit tense.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for...
It has to come down to communication. Has to be the best thing. We talk as a couple or as a family and we go and do something that meets the needs of most of the people.
Yeah.
And part of that also is the issue of the roles that we play. We spoke a few episodes back about men and men's role in society. When I get the couples coming back from holidays, very often the story is of how the woman did everything. She had to arrange all the clothes, pack all the stuff, arrange any food that had to be done, do the arrangements for transportation and stuff like that. And the guy just kind of went along with it. And one of the frustrations for the woman can be that the man didn't participate in the process.
I'm biting my lip a bit here. There's someone listening to this that will be going, that's me.
and that's the frustrations that the women get. I mean, one of the things about couples appearing in the consulting room, whether we're talking about post-holiday or whatever, it's usually the woman that's the motivator. It's the woman that's cheesed off. And it's the woman that is initiating the need to do something. And the man may be sat in the consulting room thinking, I've got a clue what she's talking about. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But from her point of view, she's gnawing the edge of the door and wants to pull his nose off. Or whatever, you know.
That comes down to communication then, doesn't it? Maybe would you suggest before people go away on holiday to have a sit down with who you're going with and just delegate roles and responsibilities and say chat about what's expected? What you're hoping to get
And I guess it starts off with the what is a holiday? Is a holiday something which is very active or very passive?
Yeah.
I mean, what have you done for your holiday this year?
I've done what I've been doing since I was a kid, really. I've been going to... I went to North... No, we had a few days in Northumberland and then we had a week in Anglesey, which is North Wales, which I talked about a couple of episodes back. Kicking back in countryside. Yeah, I try and put a distinction between holiday and travel. There's only a couple of places in the world I can go for a holiday, I think, to really unwind. And I know where they are, and I go there pretty much every year because I know that when I get there, I'm instantly going to be relaxed. And I've done all the sightseeing things, I've done all the local attractions, and I don't need to do them. I can just unwind, and I can go to the beach, I can go for a walk on the river, that kind of thing. That doesn't mean I don't want to go see the world, but I think if I was travelling and going to far off places, I'd go with a different mindset.
Yeah.
You know, that, okay, we need to do this, we need to experience this, that and the other.
Yeah.
But I think you also need to be careful when you go somewhere that if you go on like a city break for a weekend to say, well, I've been to Italy, you go to Rome, there's so many things to do in Rome, so many things to see in a few days that you can just be running around like a
whistle stop tour.
Yeah, just ticking off all these things, can't you?
Yeah. Rather than enjoying it.
Rather than taking the time to experience the moment, live in the present.
Yeah.
What's all there for you?
Well, Ree and I have two places that are magical. One is where we've been this year, which is a converted barn, which is in the middle of nowhere up in the Yorkshire Dales. It's about 20 minutes from the Lake District up there. Mm. I've got to think about lakes. The thing that's good about it is that in isolation there is virtually no Wi-Fi signal. If you're lucky, you might get a couple of days out of it. And there's no telephone signal. You have to work hard to do anything on the phone, which means that no one can get to me. And that's a holiday. Because, both of us live intensely in the emotional worlds of other people doing therapy. And that's quite emotionally demanding. It's very fulfilling. I'm not complaining about that. But it's nice to have that time away to recharge. So that's a good place. And the other place that we go is Italy. And we drive to Italy from here, which is a two-day drive. It's like 18, 19 hours drive. So we'll do one day from here down to the border with France and Belgium, stay over there. Mm-hmm. And that's quite an active day because we're kind of rushing off to go somewhere and we've got to get through the channel and things like that. But there's a lot of talking going on.
And do you have sweets in the car? Do you have a little bag of sweets?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I actually carry a bag of things like pumpkin seeds. I like chewing on those. Yeah.
Far too healthy. Yeah. I've got wine gums, jelly babies.
And but second day from Belgium down to Italy is driving through the Alps. And that's a quiet time. The car drives itself. I don't mind driving. I just sit at the controls and we go along with it. But the views are just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So by the time I get there, by the time I get to the lakes, by the end of the second day, my levels of adrenaline and cortisol have come down quite a lot. And I'm already in holiday mode. I don't think it's necessarily the same for Ree because she's a passenger. And she might be a bit more anxious. So she's probably a day behind me before she comes down.
Yeah, especially if you're driving an autopilot with your eyes closed.
The car knows the way. It's been there enough times. It knows where it's going.
Cool. So that's cool. So you use the travel time as kind of the unwind the unwind time.
Yeah.
It,
if you look at the wind up time, the people's levels of adrenaline and cortisol are going to drop down when they go on holiday, and that's the holiday experience. When we come back, they come back up again. Most people, that would be, say they've had a good holiday, they come back, and then it takes this couple of weeks, which is what the article is about, to get back up to the normal feeling. And then people say that, I feel like I've never been away.
Yeah.
But if you're living and you're anxious about the holiday, or you're anxious about the travelling, whether it's flying or on a boat or whatever, and it takes you 3 or 4 days to get into the holiday, and maybe you're actually only have the experience of being on holiday for 2 or 3 days before you're winding up to come back again because the anxiety levels are there.
Yeah.
And then that can feel like you haven't had a holiday at all.
At all. Like you've had a day in the middle to enjoy it.
Yeah. Yes, I had a day's holiday in Acapulco. But
and it cost me $2,000.
Yes. Yeah, it was crazy. Mm. Crazy amount.
So, bit of a takeaway point for people then to assess the types of holiday they're going on.
Yeah.
Whether it fits them. When you're seeing clients and they've said that perhaps they've just come back from a trip or they're going to go somewhere or thinking of planning something, do you advise them on the types of holiday that maybe...
Well, I get them to look at what they're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah, to ask the questions.
Yeah, what do you want to achieve from it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to get it? And looking at their responses to things like travelling and how they would fit with that.
Yeah.
And how does that work for them? If you look at people progressing through life, the ultimate holiday, the big holiday, is retirement. And that's the big one. I mean, I talk about divorces coming after the holiday season, but we were talking a while ago also about how we've got this spike in divorces in the over 60s. And what it is people are hitting the big holiday, they're stopping working, their levels of adrenaline and cortisol drop down, so their defence mechanisms go with that.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, it's the classic, the woman's looking at the man and thinking, I'm not staying here for another 20, 30 years. And they're ending it. Mm. Yeah. And that is typical holiday issue for me in terms of the consulting room.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's about communication. If a couple never have communicative time together, and suddenly they're thrown into being with each other or being in bigger family situations for 2 weeks, whether it's summer or whether it is Christmas and New Year, there's bound to be conflicts and pressures there. Mm-hmm. And the most powerful thing, if we're looking at the self-help aspect of this, number one would be making sure that the holiday that you're going on is a holiday that you want to be on.
Yeah.
Making sure that you communicate with those people that are going with you so that there is a sharing of roles that's equitable and everyone's happy with it, so it's a holiday for everybody. And the third thing is making sure that you communicate about any problems that you can see that might come up in advance.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be, isn't it? If you can head it off at the pass before it gets there, then you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. I haven't even really thought about it before, but I think to just have a discussion with the person, assuming that you're going away with someone else,
yep,
or maybe going away in a group, just to have a discussion before you go about what it is that you want from the holiday,
yeah,
would be really helpful, really powerful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to start doing that.
We do the thing where we go to the barn, and primarily Rhea and I are kind of higher in the barn, and then members of the family are kind of dropping by or staying a bit, whatever, and sometimes their needs are different. I mean, last year when we went, there were members of the family that all wanted to go ape, which is that thing where you're climbing in the trees.
Yeah.
And although I can see the attraction of going ape, for me, hanging off of a tree a couple hundred feet up in the air wasn't what I was there for. So, like, a bunch of them cleared off and did all that and had a fabulous day and came back and they were woo and full of their stuff.
Sure.
And we'd been for a really good walk and we were kind of full of our stuff. And that was good.
Cool. Yeah.
So it's okay, I guess, if everyone's doing what they want to do, rather than feeling like you've been dragged along to do something you don't want to do, then that's not a holiday at all, is it?
Mm, cool. Yeah. That's some good stuff. Any more self-help tips then?
I think it's communication. It comes down to communication, comes down to making sure that you are self-aware of what you're doing, what you want to do, and how that's affecting the other people around you. You know, how many people drag other people off and then they have kind of an itinerary. You must come here and you must do that. Yeah, Rhea and I have a kind of a baseline deal. When we go to Italy, because it's nice and warm, we might have a pool day and then we go and do something and then we'll have another kind of easy day, you know, so we kind of alternate it around so that we get the needs of being able to relax, chill out, read, do all that kind of stuff, but also the idea of going and experiencing and doing and seeing as well.
Mm.
So trying to get a balance in it.
Yeah, it's tough also leaving work at home, isn't it? And I'm as bad at this as anyone in terms of, you know, my email's always on, although I will try and put an autoresponder on when I go away for more than 4 or 5 days. So the people that email me know that I'm away and that I'll be in touch when I get back.
Yeah. Despite being out of signal quite a bit at the time, I still had 4 people that were trying to get hold of me for different crises that were going.
You didn't have an autoresponder, because I take care of your autoresponder, so you didn't put it on when you went away.
No.
Did you?
No. I should have done. I had 4 people that were relevant. I had to make a couple of calls. I didn't mind that too much. When I go away abroad, I take what I call the bat phone. Because sometimes I carry 3 mobile phones. I've got my regular social one. I have one that does cover some kind of business stuff. But if there's serious stuff kicking around, I've got the bat phone. And if the bat phone goes off, I have to answer it. Whatever it is. That's the emergency phone. Virtually. Yeah. Again,
yeah.
Yeah. But if there's serious stuff around, then I carry the bat phone.
Mm. Yeah. I remember reading an article ages ago. I'll have trouble digging it out, but it was about this fancy safari resort in Africa that you paid thousands and thousands to go to, you know, go hot air ballooning in the morning and then go out safari. And the people that worked there, the African guys, they found it interesting how long it took the guys that were going on the holiday to unplug. You know, they were all kind of hotshot finance dudes with the BlackBerrys. And they said generally it took about 3 days for them to stop being anxious about not being able to check their email.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. That ties in with the...
But that's the levels of chemistry came down.
And then they said after 3 days, okay, finally, then they were ready to kind of enjoy it. And they tailored the holiday around that so they wouldn't put all the good stuff in at the start when people weren't ready to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
They kind of let people gradually get into the trip.
And maybe that's a good thing. If people are looking at their holidays, if you know that it takes you however many days it does to get down to your holiday level of chemistry, that you tailor that into your experience.
Sure.
So that you're not having the frustrations of not being able to enjoy what you're doing. Maybe you need to allow yourself to arrive.
Okay, because you don't want to go too in-depth when you're on holiday in terms of planning about what to do. We're going to do this, that. But maybe there should be a level of that that comes down to communication before you go about... Okay, let's do, you know, think about doing this in the first few days.
Yeah.
While we're getting into the swing of it.
Yeah, and it's the balance with the kids as well, isn't it? The kids are going to have needs to be very, very active and do things, and the parents might want to be sitting by the pool. But if you get the balance right, or you get the place right, you know, you go to loads of places that have clubs for kids and things.
So yeah.
There is that.
Yeah, we're getting into all that stage now. I mean, we're still in the kind of the pram and afternoon nap stage, so we really plan our day around Will. And, you know, when he's going to be bright as a button and when he's going to be dozing or eating his lunch. So we got we need to be at a coffee shop at this time of day.
Yeah.
So let's get going. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Interesting. I think that'll do it for now.
Yeah. Well, maybe one last thing would be just looking at if you do take holiday times, how often do you do it? Is it better to take one big chunk of holiday or bits? And most people, if you look at it psychologically, need a break of some sort, maybe 3 or even 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And that creates more levels of emotional sanity.
Well, we've also talked about, I think it was in our first episode, about sunlight issue. Going away in summer doesn't make as much sense as it does going away in the winter.
Yeah, if you're going to go abroad, then fly to somewhere that's bright and sunny.
Get some sun in your system when it's cold and dark.
Boost the endorphins up in your system,
That's a whole other issue, isn't it? But we've discussed it. Episode number one, that was way back in the day.
Yeah, seems a million years ago.
Awful sound quality in that one, I apologise in advance. But we were just getting in the swing. Okay. Cheers, Sean. So that's some good stuff out of that.
Good, thank you.
What about a resource of the week? What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go back to one of our own products. And I'm okay about blowing the trumpet for this. If you go on the site, the Relax and Let Go DVD.
MP3.
God, get in the groove.
Well, it wasn't initially. It was like a tape, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Because it's been knocking around for years.
Yeah, but MP3. Yeah, and that has 2 tracks on it that are particularly useful because one of them is a progressive relaxation which enables you to relax, and one is a deep relaxation that people use for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we know is that when you do a deep relaxation, those chemicals, the adrenaline and the cortisol drop, and the positive chemicals like the serotonin come up. So if you do someone's bloods before a relaxation and afterwards, that you can see the difference.
Okay.
And that goes back to the idea of Mediterraneans having a siesta and having a much calmer lifestyle than we have.
Yeah.
So using things like Relax and Let Go, especially on a daily basis, can transform your chemical system. So it's a bit like you're going on holiday for 20 minutes, half an hour every day. You're getting that kind of holiday effect.
Holiday every day.
On your system.
That's a sales pitch.
Yeah. A holiday every day with Relax and Let Go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put the link up. I think it's £4.99. I think
something
we've
like
got
that.
It set up.
Yeah.
If it's not, I'll put a sale on for that price.
Cheaper, twice the price.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you've been using that for years with clients, right?
Yeah, very effective.
Yeah,
good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, my resource of the week is another podcast, and it's called The Tropical MBA. With 2 chaps called Dan and Ian. And it's one of the most popular business podcasts around. I think they've had over 1 million downloads. But it's all about helping create what's called a lifestyle business. And I'm interested in relation to this episode because these guys are the type of guys, they seem like they're on holiday permanently. The kind of location independent businesses that they've set up and that they help advise people to set up is interest to me, but they're cool guys, really good podcast. They've come on quite a journey. The whole work-life balance thing is really relevant to what we talk about, isn't it? And I think we're going to talk about it more in the future because it seems to resonate. There's a whole swathe and of people that have set up little businesses to, they're not making millions, they're not trying to employ hundreds of people with these businesses, but they're just trying to make a living, and which enables them to do the things that they want to do in their life, one of which may be travel.
Yeah.
So the Tropical MBA.
Sounds good.
It's a cool podcast. Righto, that's it for this week, guys. Up next week, we're going to be talking about money. Well, I haven't got a proper title for it yet, but it'll be something witty and catchy and... but people's relationship with money, which was triggered by an email we had in the week by a cool chap called Chris, which we appreciate. And also relating to my title, I'm described as an entrepreneur in the build-up to the show, and I, which took a bit of deciding on, and I wasn't sure whether to go with it, but that's what we're going to be using that as a starting point, right, Sean?
Yeah, and we need to look at the derivations of entrepreneur.
We must. See where it came from. And there's a distinction between how people see entrepreneurs in the UK and the US, I think. And there's a bit of a stigma and a bit of cynicism in the UK, maybe.
I think that one of the things that comes back again and again is the idea of the issues of power.
Mm-hmm.
And power is a word that we need to look at, because power and money are often associated together.
Yeah.
And in England, particularly parts of Europe, much less so than the States, people see power as a negative thing. Whereas I would use the engineer's definition of power, which is the ability to do work. That's what power gives you, is the ability to do something.
Mm.
And like anything, can be used or misused. And money falls into that category for me.
Money. Yeah, okay. That's next week.
Yeah, okay.
Brilliant. That's about it. So for all the links that we've mentioned in today's episode or this week's episode, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk and you'll find them all. Follow Sean and I on Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. All the links, again, on the website. If you wish to, that would be awesome. If you could leave us a review on iTunes, superb. Some honest feedback is hugely appreciated, as ever. And thanks again to all who have already done so. So without further ado, I'll say goodbye to you, Sean.
And goodbye to you, Ed.
Have a nice week.
Yeah, have a nice week, everybody.
Yeah,
see you next week. Bye.
See ya.